Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Greg Huffman, who also serves on the pastoral staff at the Brookside Baptist Church. Pastor Greg, it's always great to get together and talk about the Lord's Word, and certainly with you, as you've been preaching it now, I think you said for 40 years?
40 years, right. And it's so neat because it's always unfolding something new to you as long as you come approaching it with an open heart.
Have you ever preached the same passage twice?
Yes.
And it's fresh every time, isn't it?
It is, because your situation changes, just like other people's situation may change. And so there's a new application, there's a new understanding, and then you get excited because you realize this is the living Word of God.
Hebrews says it's quick, which means it's alive, it's living, and it's powerful, and it's a sharp sword that can pierce right inside us and help us see what God sees.
And then it becomes the anesthetic, and it becomes the healing power.
Yes.
You know, after he's done the surgery, then he does the recovery. And, you know, we often refuse to admit that we even need surgery because we were talking last time about this business of being poor in spirit and how it just goes so totally opposite with what we have been taught that we need to be. And you were basically saying, Pastor Sam, that it means no resources, just totally empty. Now, can you maybe describe for us what it looks like when we aren't like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, just to kind of catch up and get a running start, we were talking about the first of eight qualities that the Lord laid out in the Sermon on the Mount for people who he was going to send out into the world to be salt and light. You used the illustration in one of our broadcasts about the fact that these people were going to be ambassadors. And that really caught my attention because that's exactly what we're supposed to be like.
Right.
So if you're listening to us on the way to work, think of yourself as a commissioned ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. What would you do? I mean, I kind of thought in my head, what would I do if I were commissioned by the President of the United States to be an ambassador to a particular country? Well, one of the things I'd want to do is I'd want to learn all about the country I was going to. But even before then, I would want to make sure I understood the president so that I could accurately and attractively represent him, because that's really who I'm standing in for.
Right.
And that's what I think the Lord is doing here. I think that was just a really good illustration. And so as an ambassador, I've been sent out into the world wherever I am. So here I am driving to work, or maybe I'm getting ready to go off to college or to school, or I've got business I'm going to be doing today, and I've got errands to run. And all day long, I'm going to be an ambassador. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to be like? Not just what am I supposed to say and do, what am I supposed to be like?
What are you like on the inside,
yeah,
then?
Yes. And that's really where the Lord starts. He says, all right, if you want to be an ambassador in the kingdoms of this world while you wait for my kingdom to come, here's the first thing you got to do. You've got to develop a character that looks like mine. You got to think like I think, talk like I think, act like I think. You got to look at the world through my eyes. You're going to have my kind of a character. And my character is marked by eight qualities that you, an approved person before God, ought to be cultivating. And the first of those has to do with your spirit. And when you think about your spirit, here's the word that needs to describe it: poor. You need to be poor in spirit. Now, Luke just says poor. He doesn't even have the in spirit part. But the word that he uses there is a word that would describe poverty, not just not having, you know, extra, because you can work all day and just have enough to make your ends meet. But he's talking about somebody who, after expending all of his energies, was not able to come up with enough resources to survive. So we're talking about abject poverty. Many commentators would look at this and say, well, that's talking about moral bankruptcy. You know, if you're going to really be blessed of God, here's where it starts. You've got to recognize that you're morally bankrupt. I'm not going to quibble with, you know, if you hear a pastor say that, you probably ought not go up and correct him on that. But I don't think that's really what's in mind here. And here's why. These qualities marked the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he was morally bankrupt.
No. But as we watched him pray many times all night, and constantly referred to wanting to honor and glorify his Father. It was basically a total submission to the Father.
And a total dependence on the Father.
Right.
And that's what he told his disciples. Remember in John, he said, apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So what he's talking about is that he wants us to model what he lived out, and that is a total dependency on God. He was not independent. He was not self-sufficient. He was not self-dependent. He was not arrogant. He was not proud. He was completely humble and dependent before God. And if we're going to represent him, that's the same kind of spirit that we have to have. Now, you've done a lot of counseling. And I would venture to say that a lot of the problems you deal with are rooted in pride.
Exactly. Depression basically means I didn't get what I felt like I deserved, and so I'm unhappy, and so I'm going to just respond in this way until things change. The same thing is true with anger and bitterness. It's I want what I want when I want it, and it's the exact opposite of what the Lord says we are to be. And Matthew 11 talked about, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do we get that rest? Well, Jesus described himself as meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest into your souls. We don't look at meekness and lowliness the way Jesus did.
Right. And he puts of heart. Because we can put on meek and lowliness for a little while. But lowliness here has to do with the way we view ourself. It's a proper understanding of who we are before the Lord. Thinking properly about ourself. You think about pride. Pride, in essence, is thinking improperly about myself.
Correct.
I've got the pride of place. You know, I've got the pride of possessions. Look at what I own. I have the pride of power or ability. Look at what I can do. You know, I have the pride of performance. Look at my achievements. And I have all of these pride-based arenas in life. And Jesus said, now you've got to sweep all of that off the table if you're going to effectively represent me, because I don't think that way. I don't think about possessions. I don't think about accomplishments or achievements. I don't think about abilities. I don't think about rights. I did not come to be served. Remember this in Mark? I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. So I gave up all my possessions. I gave up my place. I mean, if anybody had the right of place and of possessions and of power and of person, I mean, he has a name that's above every name.
Yeah,
performance.
Yeah. Right.
It would have been the Lord. And he took all of that and laid all of that aside and became a humble, lowly servant.
And so 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that we are to follow in his steps. He has set the example. We're to follow in his steps. Then that simply means that I'm to be so dependent upon God. And if anything good happens, it's going to be God. I often in my prayer time when I'm walking and praying in the morning, I just ask the Lord, Lord, if anything good happens through my life today, remind me that it's God, not Greg. God and not Greg. Mm. Because it's so easy for me to get elevated, especially if people are saying, oh, that was a great Bible study, or after you get done preaching a message, Pastor, that was a fantastic message. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in pride and not even recognize that that is the total opposite of poor in spirit if I'm taking the credit as opposed to God.
You know, I think this is so key because I don't think that there can be healthy relationships apart from this.
Hmm.
I mean, the gospel is inherently relational. It is the repair of a broken relationship between God and us. And that gospel doesn't just repair that relationship. It ought to affect all of our relationships. And I would say that at the heart of relational tension or conflict is somebody somewhere not being poor in spirit.
One of our good friends proposed to his present wife on his knees with a bowl of water And he took her shoes and socks off, and he washed her feet. And he said in doing so, if you will marry me, as I'm serving you right now, I want to serve you the rest of my life and meet whatever needs God enables me to meet. I've never heard of anybody proposing by washing his future wife's feet, but what an illustration of servanthood.
Yeah.
And isn't that what God calls us to be when we get married?
You know, here's how perverse our hearts are. We can actually become proud about washing somebody else's feet.
No, that's true.
You know, and the illustration is powerful. I mean, it is absolutely powerful. What you just described about a husband washing his wife's feet. I don't think I'd have a hard time washing your feet. I'd have a hard time for the next 24 years serving her.
Correct.
And that's really...
Yes, that's it.
What, you see, it's not just acting this out. It's the inner transformation that sets aside the pride of place and the pride of right. You know, I can tell you in the arguments that Beth and I have had in our marriage, most of them have happened because I want to be right.
And sometimes we're fighting so much for the principle of the thing that we even forget what the issue was.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want to be right.
And Jesus said, I'm meek and I'm lowly. And he goes on to describe himself as not having even a place to lay his head. Even the children would come to him, and he had time for them. I mean, this is a man who basically came and set aside everything that was rightfully his to do the will of somebody else.
If somebody offered him an honorary doctorate, he wouldn't take it, would he?
He probably wouldn't. And you know what's sad? Nobody would have offered him one.
Right.
It's the truth. I mean, he was so humble and so low in his approach to himself that literally nobody would have even thought of that. And that really ought to be the way we live. And if we're going to be effective ambassadors for the King, we're going to have to be this way. Well, brother, it's been great talking about this. There's still one more broadcast I think we want to do as we wrap up this Beatitude and as we continue to discuss what it means to be humble and poor in spirit if we're going to be effective ambassadors for the King. I'm sure this broadcast has been a blessing to you who listen, and I hope that you'll go to our website and download this broadcast and all of the other broadcasts in our series, Happy Are the Humble. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.